Thanks for listening to the Awakening Podcast. We hope this message inspires and encourages you today.
Last week, we talked about the fact that God is very, very concerned about your Christianity. Your Christianity is very, very important to God. Your Christianity is not something that just kind of is a good thing. You believe in the Lord and you come to church and that kind of thing. No, God is concerned about your Christianity moving today, tomorrow, the next day. God is going to work on you. Amen. And it's such an awesome thing. But it's not a little thing. I want you to know God loves you. You're not insignificant. But God is very concerned about your Christianity. And you need to grow in the things of God. Amen. And so I understand that sometimes we go through bouts of, you know, being a yo-yo. You're up one day, down the next. You like the church. You don't like the church. You like the Lord. You don't like the Lord. You know. But after a while, God says, all right, enough of that. You're not a toddler anymore. You need to be able to get strong, begin to walk, begin to run, begin to face down some things that need to be faced down, and you're going to grow in this journey with the Lord. Amen? God loves to walk with you. God loves the walk he has with you. He's not afraid of your mistakes. He's not afraid of your stumblings. He's not afraid of, you know, your weirdness, you know? God is like, we're working on that, you know? First the stumblings, then the weirdness. Paul says this in Philippians, the third chapter, in verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ. Now, this means a deeper, progressive understanding of Jesus Christ. I want to know him intimately and more as we go. And this is such a prophetic word. It's something that you and I need to grab hold of. And so the reason I'm saying your Christianity is very important to God is because we need to not just always, you know, scratch the surface of the Word of God. I want to go deep with you today into the deeper things of God. God wants to take you on a deeper walk with him. You're not always just going to be surface with God. He wants to take you a little bit deeper. And Paul is saying, I want to know on a deeper level the Lord and the power of his resurrection. I want the power, the resurrection power that flows by the Holy Spirit through me. I want to feel that resurrection. I want to feel that life. You know, you can't always be on top of the world, but you can always know deep down inside, I got resurrection life in me. Amen? And Paul is saying this comes by revelation. Open the eyes of our understanding so we might know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, becoming like him in this deep walk with the Lord, even unto death. You know, you cannot really know the heart of God unless you know the broken heart of God. And you cannot know that unless you go through some deep places with the Lord, some places of suffering. And what's kind of, I mean, I almost feel like the devil wants to tell you, you're the only one that would go through this. You're the only one that would suffer. You're the only one that would struggle. You're the only one that would battle this. But the fact of the matter is, we all do. We all do. We all struggle. We all battle. And the devil will come and torture with the fact that, no, you're the only one. But you know what? No, I will go through suffering and become like him. I will go through the hard times and become like him. I will go through the difficulty, and on the other side, I'm going to know more of Christ, more of his compassion, more of his kindness, more of his goodness, but also more of his strength, more faith. I know how to apprehend joy. You know, and before I went through this struggle, I was up and down, and circumstances would always, you know, dictate whether or not I was going to be joyful. It wasn't until I went through this battle with the Lord that he taught me, seize the joy of the Lord. Take hold of it. Own it. It is the fruit of the Spirit. You can have it today, even though you're going through a hard hardship. Can you say amen? Amen. You will only learn that in struggle. And so Paul is saying this, I want to know him and become like him through the suffering, even unto death. You know that when the mother of the sons of thunder, James and John, came to Jesus, she said, grant that my sons can sit on your right hand and your left when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said this. He said, that's not mine to give, but can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink of? And they said, yes, we can. And he said, indeed, you will. And the cup that he's talking about is that cup of suffering. And nobody suffered more than the Lord. Crucified, a sinless man. Tortured to death. I mean, not just murder, but tortured to death he was. Shamed, hanging on the cross, naked, bruised, bleeding, a mess. The Bible says that he was unrecognizable. He was so beaten. You and I may never discover that level of drinking that cup, but we will drink the cup of suffering in life. We will drink the cup of suffering in life. And during that time, God will speak to us deeper than we've ever maybe been spoken to before. I remember when my grandmother was passing away, and she was an amazing woman of God, the closest person you would ever meet to Christ. And I loved her dearly. She loved us, me and Nancy. But when she was dying, she was 86 years old, and she was dying. She was in the hospital, and she was suffering terribly. And that so broke my heart that God would let this happen to my grandmother, who was the sweetest person you could ever meet. How can the devil still be touching her? How can pain, how can this physical thing be happening to her? And I remember after she passed away and after she died, I struggled with it for a while, a long time. And I remember praying about it and saying, God, why would this holy woman of God have to struggle up until the very hour of her death? Why, God? And the Lord said, you will not understand it in this life. But I was adding jewels to her crown. I was adding jewels to her crown. It's amazing that the things that you can never understand when you're on the top of life, you will understand in the depths of suffering, in the depths of the struggle. And God will say, you're not going to come through this without gaining jewels in your crown. You're not going to come through this and be worse. You're going to come through this and become like me. In the book of Genesis, the Lord said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And God is still working on that today. He's still working on that today. Can you say amen? Amen. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, Paul says this, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained. And that word in the Greek, we get the word gym from it. You're going to go to the gym on some of these things. You know, there's going to be discipline that happens to you. Now, sometimes it's the circumstances of life that disciplines you. Sometimes it's your stupid sin that disciplines you. Sometimes it's just a discipline where God brings you into something and he knows he's going to correct something in your life. But no matter where it comes from, the discipline will come and you can be trained in it and through it, you know, if you walk with the Lord. And so it goes on in verse 12, therefore strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Get strengthened in the battle. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have feeble arms, you need help. You need to get to the gym. You need to get to the gym. You don't have abs. You got feeble arms. You need some discipline. There's the sufferings that you'll go through. There's the discipline that you'll go through. But then there's trials and testings that will test you as well. It says this, Pastor James says this in chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it a pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, different kinds of trials, because you know that the testing of your faith, the stretching of your faith, the pulling of your faith will produce something. And so it's tested, it's probed, it's taxed, it's stretched. God is not just going to leave your faith, you know, it's like the ligament that will not grow. It's like the muscle that will not grow. God will not leave it there. He's going to stretch it. He's going to test it. He's going to bring it to the max. Sometimes you're tested to the max. You're tested to the breaking point. So we have the sufferings, we have discipline, and we have testing. But all three of them end up being struggles in our lives that God says, don't go through this alone. I want to go with you. And I'm going to teach you in it. I'm going to pull some things off of you that need to be pulled off. And the stuff that needs to come off of you can't come off except in this kind of a circumstance. Amen? Sometimes it's not on the mountaintop that everything happens. It's through the struggle. It's through the fire. And then he says this, the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That you may be mature, not immature. See, sometimes our Christianity, it rests on the level of a maturity. And our maturity can be, or so our immaturity can be so prevalent that you can't do the things of God. You can't act the Christian way because of the level of immaturity. You know, if I don't like you, you're going to know it. You know, and it's like, oh, hold on. Baby here. You got a baby here. Got a toddler here. And God is saying, no, I want to bring you into a place of maturity. And God loves to walk with you through it. God's not afraid of your immaturity. God's not afraid of your littleness. God's not afraid of your hissy fits. God's not afraid of when you stumble and fall. God wants to walk with you through it because he's going to cause you to grow. You're going to grow in strength. You're going to grow in wisdom. You're going to grow in knowledge. You're going to know some things about the Lord. I love to get around older people that have walked with God a long time. And you can tell they've been tested. I mean, they have been probed and pricked and poked. And you can tell, man, you've been through some stuff. And out of them will come a compassion and a grace and an understanding and a depth and a maturity. You can tell. You've walked with the Lord. Amen? You've walked with the Lord. Faith grows. Your vision gets clearer. I can see now. I know what the devil's trying to do here. I can see now what I need to do. I can see now how I need to correct my words. My words shift. My mind shifts. How I process things begins to shift. Why? Because I've been through struggles with God, and he's taught me, this is how you speak, Steve. This is how you see things, Steve. This is how you deal with stuff. This is how you react. And you grow in the things of God. Even your joy. Don't let go of your joy, even in the midst of the struggle. You know, you want to aggravate the devil, be happy. Just be happy. The devil ain't going to like that. You know, what else we got? What else can we throw at him, you know? No, I'm going to be happy. And do you know that joy is a barometer of how you're doing spiritually? It's not saying that you're not going through struggles, but you have a joy in you that says, you know what, I feel spiritually strong here. I know that God's going to be with me and walk with me through this thing. I pray for spiritual strength for you today. I pray for freedom for you today. I pray that the struggle is going to produce more Christ-likeness in you today. You're not going through this for nothing. God is working on you. God is going to produce something in you. It might be a struggle in your finances. It might be a struggle in your home or in your marriage, in your relationships. But God is going to work something in you and through you. Amen. He's never empty-handed. He always comes to make you more like him. And God walks with us. Now, would you turn in your Bible to Judges, the third chapter. I want to show you some interesting verses here that you need to know that are in your Bible. Amen? And this is what I talked about, being spiritually mature. Where's the book of Judges? I didn't know there was such a thing as a book of Judges. Come on, we're going to grow in God. Can you say amen? Amen. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. The book of Judges. And you know what's funny? Just what I'm talking about here is what God's telling these people here. You're going to grow up. It says in Judges, the third chapter, it says in verse 1, these are the nations that the Lord left to test. Everybody say to test. These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. So here is a generation of young men and women that had never been through the wars. It's interesting because if you do a little bit of study into the history here, the forefathers, their fathers and grandfathers came into the land in Canaan and defeated the enemy. But what happened is God said, obey me and I will push them back. So they had victory after victory as God was pushing back the enemy and pushing them down. But what happens is you pass the baton to the next generation and they like take it for granted. Like, hey man, this is great. You know, we don't have to do anything. And then there's a few enemies that try to kind of grow back in there. And what can they do? You know, it's just a little something. I'm not going to worry about that little something. But guess what? It can grow into a nation and come and battle against you. It can grow into a foothold and come and battle against you. Verse 2, he did this only to teach warfare to the descendants, to the next generation of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. I pray God gives you some battle experience. Amen? Because you might have to battle for your kids. You might have to battle for your marriage. You might have to battle for your finances. You know, it's a funny thing. You think that, God doesn't care about money. I'll tell you, the devil really does. He doesn't want you to have any of it. He does not want you to have good dental care. He doesn't want you to have a good car that has good tires. He doesn't want you to have a good fridge with good food. He doesn't want you to have anything. You know, so you might have to battle in a financial battle and say, no, this is going to be God's house, God's way, on me, amen? I'm going to battle for it. So it says here, these were the nations, the five rulers of the Philistines. You know, Goliath was a Philistine. You might have to face down some Goliaths. And all the Canaanites. The Canaanites were a people that had a curse on them from Ham, the grandfather of Canaan. He had a curse on him. And you can live under a curse, or that curse can begin to grow and start to impede your life, start to, like vines, come in and weed its way into every aspect of your life. These are nations that should not be there, sins that should not grow. But sometimes we allow it because we're not really that skilled on having battle experience. And I don't know why this is coming into my marriage. I don't know why this is coming into my kids. I don't know why this is weeding its way into my house. And I barely recognize it because I excuse it. Well, everybody's, yeah. You excuse that thing, you let that nation grow, and before you know it, you have a fight on your hands. Can you say amen? Amen. The Sidonians. You know, from Sidon. Jezebel was from Sidon. Jezebel is an independent, I don't need you, I don't like you spirit. And that gets on you. You don't even realize it. That thing starts to get on you. You start to pick fights with more people or tell everybody, you know, what you think, and you're online getting nasty. You ever get nasty online? It would be awesome if it would go straight to the Lord. Click. Oh! Unsend. The Hivites, they were just wicked people living in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal. They were Baal worshipers to Lebo Hamath. And they were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their forefathers through Moses. These are the nations. And there are things in our lives that are kind of in the background. We get saved and we come to the Lord and God forgives us and he cleanses us and he walks us into the things of God. But there are things that are in the background that God says, I will deal with them at the appropriate time. Nations that are there. And if you don't deal with them, they grow into something that becomes overwhelming. Lust, anger, things that are there in the background. We've always been an angry family. You know, we've always had, handguns. In case anybody steps out of line, we just kill them. Greed, pride, insecurity. You know, my whole family's insecure. I'm insecure about everything. Why do I look funny? I don't look insecure to you. I feel insecure. Do you think I'm insecure? God says, he puts his finger on that, says, this needs to go. This is not from God. These are voices and traffic that's coming in your head, and it should not be there. I'm going to bring you through a trial. I'm going to bring you through a test that's going to get that thing out. You got to rise up against it, though. Depression. Fear. Anxiety. See, and what happened with the Israelites is they let these nations they made excuses for them. Well, it's just the Hittites, you know. They like to worship Baal. Sometimes I worship Baal, you know. They let them come in. And what God wants to do is say, I got to turn the heat up on this thing so that you understand you have to learn how to battle back. Amen? Amen. I know how to fight my battles. I'm going to fight my battles. Greed. It's not something to be excused away. I'll tell you the reason I work 80 hours. You want to know why I work 80 hours? And I come up with some excuse as to why it's really good that I have to work my whole life away and squeal away all kinds of money, and I'm a cheapskate. I don't want to go too far on this. Maybe one of you are here squeaking out of the lobby. But God is saying, no, I love you. And I'm not afraid of your greed. I'm going to bring that to the surface. I'm going to show you it is a stench on you that needs to get off of you, but you're going to find yourself in a battle with me. I'm going to take care of it. It's a nation that needs to be removed. No, you don't need to make excuses for it. It doesn't need to be a workaround. You don't need to tell me how, you know, your father was like that, your grandfather was like that, your uncle's like that. No, don't make excuses for this. God wants you to become like him. Can you say amen? And so what happens is God allows these things, and this is what these verses in Judges is talking about, but God allows these things to increase the pressure until they boil to the point where you must deal with it. You must deal with it. It's to the point now where it's going to create pain and havoc. And you find itself in your house or in a situation, you're in the midst of this tumult. You're in the midst of this situation, and it's a battle. It's a struggle. It's a darkness. It's a nation. And it's beginning to affect every aspect of your life. And God's saying, I put my finger on it. You know, and it's a funny thing about this is when God puts his finger on something in your life, you cannot excuse it away. You know, because even God, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, you need to deal with this. You need to deal with this. You're a gossiper. You gossip about everything. You have sewage coming out of your mouth 24 hours a day. God puts his finger on it. And all of a sudden, like I said, the gossip starts getting into trouble. Next thing you know, you're in a giant struggle. You're in a giant battle. And you're in this hateful thing that's cropped itself up. It's turning into a flaming fire. All because you set your mouth to set it on fire. And God is saying, I'm putting my finger on that. And what God does is he'll begin to bring you into the pressure up. He'll begin to bring you through a situation that it just begins harder and harder for you just to hold on to that thing and make excuses for that thing. You know, I was thinking about, like, this reminds me of, I don't know if you've ever been water skiing, but when you fall off the water with your skis, let go of the rope. Yeah. Let go of the greed. When God is pulling you through the water and water is going up your nose and coming out your mouth, stop it. Stop. What kind of people are here? Let go of the rope. How much does God have to turn the pressure up and put you into such a battle, such a struggle? And God is like with you in this thing. Say, come on, let's defeat this thing now. Let's defeat this anger now. Let's defeat this lust now. Let's defeat this pride now. I'm putting my finger on it. You're in the midst of this thing. You know what you need to do. You know, and I can picture the angels looking at the body on the ground saying, what happened? Well, you didn't let go. Well, he looks like he's sucked in a bunch of water. Yeah, he wouldn't let go. It looks like he got pounded. Well, he hit the dock. He wouldn't let go. Looks like he doesn't have any trunks on. Yeah. I mean, he's completely stripped and wouldn't let go. Still wouldn't let go. You know? And he's a mess. He's a real mess. When did he finally let go? Well, we were loading the boat on the trailer and we were going down the highway. And at some point on the highway, I think he let go. How far do you have to go in the struggle to let go, to stand up and fight, to say, God, okay, I get it. Come with me. Help me through this. You know, it's amazing. If God came to your door every day, say he shows up on your porch, knocks on the door, he's loaded with armor and all kinds of military stuff. And he says, today we fight. And you go, yeah, you know what? Not today. You know, it's always been in my family. We've always been like this. I'm going to make excuses a little bit more. It's not like the Lord slunks his shoulders and walks away. Well, he doesn't want to fight today. That's not God. God is off on the side, armed to the teeth, saying, call me when you're ready to fight. Call me when you're ready to fight. And then when you're standing there, completely skinned alive, water in your lungs, all big bumps on your head, no trunks on, you say, God, I'm ready. Oh, what do you know? That's wonderful, son. Let me help you. Amen. Psalm 144 says this in verse 1, praise be to the Lord my rock who trains my hands for war. See, God wants you to understand, you do not have to be defeated. Even in the midst of the struggle, stand up, fight this thing with the Lord and have deliverance come and set you free. Amen? We need to grow up in our Christianity. God's not afraid of your weirdness, but when he puts his finger on it, you got to say, you know what, I'm going to battle this thing back. I'm done being insecure about everything. I'm done being prideful about everything. I'm done being argumentative about everything. I'm done of blowing up and losing my cool about everything. I am going to deal with this thing. Lord, teach my hands to battle, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues nations, who subdues things that are bothering me, who subdues sins that have latched themselves on, who subdues curses that try to come on me, who subdues accusations that have been spoken over me. I thank God, he is my refuge, my strong tower, and he teaches me, stand up, son, daughter, and fight. Fight. Amen? And use a weapon of praise. Use a weapon of praise. Can I tell you something? You're always susceptible to the beating around, the battering around by the devil when your praise is low. If you feel like you're being knocked around and beaten around, and maybe it's in your finances or maybe it's in your marriage or whatever, you see yourself being beaten around, you need to know, I got to bring the weapon of praise up in my life. I got to bring the weapon of praise up. I've got to begin to declare the things of God, the holiness of God. And as I worship him, as I lift him up, this thing falls off. Amen? I'll tell you, the things of the flesh seem so much stronger when you're not worshiping, when you're not praising, when you're not lifting him up, when you're not glorifying him. And you know, sometimes that's why it's a battle. You might come to church and not feel like praising because you're in the midst of a struggle. But God teaches your hands to war. I'm going to war. I'm going to declare your goodness, God. I might be in the middle of this thing, but God, you are good. I glorify your name. I lift up Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit come in a mighty way. We glorify the Lord. And all of a sudden, this thing starts to back off. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Don't sit down. Don't pack it in. Don't quit. You're not an immature little baby. Can I tell you something? Once you're grown, you know how to fight. If there was an 89-year-old man crossing the street, and some kids came to pick on him, he'd try to hit him with his cane. But if they kept picking on him, he'd get more mad, and then more mad. And then all of a sudden, you see this 89-year-old guy. Now, he might not be too effective, but you're going to see something come out of him that says, I remember, you know, 72 years ago, I got in a fight, and this is what I had to do. Toddlers don't know how to fight. They know how to cry. They know how to do doo-doo in their diaper. But they do not know how to fight. Use the weapon of praise. Can you say amen? Amen. Here's a promise in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and I love these promises. But it says in verse 7, the Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction. And you know what's interesting here? It's not saying that they won't rise up. It's not saying that they won't come at you. They will rise up. They will come up against you. But they will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. Can you say amen? Lord, help me to become more like you. I want to grow stronger. I want to grow wiser. I want to have more compassion. I want to have more love. I want to have less judgmentalism, less criticism, less gossip. Make me more like you, Lord. I want to know you. and the fellowship of your sufferings. I can go through it with you, Lord. If you bring me in prison, you'll go with me there. Amen? And then the weapon of prayer. Again, not toddler prayers, big boy prayers. You know, the thing is, sometimes it takes a struggle for you to learn how to pray. Sometimes it takes a battle for you to learn how to pray. You need to pray prayers that will go somewhere, that will get God's attention. And they might not be that articulate, but they're big boy prayers where you cry out to the Lord, God, help me, Lord. Amen? Poverty, I rebuke you. And you begin to pray big boy prayers. I tell you, prayer is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. When you engage prayer, what happens is you beckon God. And God says, you are not going to fight this thing alone. So David goes up against Goliath, but the Lord shows up. Says, throw a rock at him. That ought to kill him. Amen? Your rock and God's presence, pretty mighty. It says this in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Divine power to demolish strongholds. My faith can pray strong. It can demolish strongholds. Are there enemies? Are there nations? Are there things? Yes. But my prayers are powerful and can tear down these strongholds. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen, there's a story in Daniel, the third chapter, about three Hebrew children that wouldn't bow to the 90-foot idol that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And he said, when you hear the sound of music, I want you to bow to this 90-foot idol of me, king. And the three Hebrew children said, we will not do it. So they brought them before the king, and the king said, if you won't do it, you're going to go in the fire. I'm going to give you one more chance. And they said, king, if we go in the fire, our Lord can save us. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow. And so Nebuchadnezzar ordered that the furnace be turned up 7 times hotter. I want you to know, man's fire turns to God's fire at some point. This is a test. It may look like it's an ordinary man fire, but when you walk into it with the Lord, it turns into God's fire. It's going to be a divine something that happens here. 7 times hotter. And so the king said, get the strongest soldiers that we have and bind the three Hebrew children. I don't want to get into the strong man and binding and loosing and all that stuff, but it's a cool picture here. They bind the three Hebrew children. The Bible says that when they threw them into the fire, it was so hot that the soldiers died and laid outside the furnace. I'll tell you, when you go into the fire, some things are going to die off of you and fall off. It's going to be the thing that bound you. It's going to be the thing that was stronger than you, but it is going to fall off in death as you go into the fire. And that can't come off any other way. I will go through the fire if that will fall off. And the Bible says that while they were in the fire, there was one as unto the Son of God in there with them, walking around in the midst of the fire, and the ropes that they had been tied with burnt off. I'll tell you, you can't get stuff burnt off of you unless you're in the fire. Lord, you're going to use this opportunity. You're going to use this struggle. You're going to use this situation, God, to loose some things off of me. They will not come off any other way, but you're in the midst of the fire, and the Lord is saying, I'm going to loose you from that. Would you stand to your feet? I want to pray for you. The struggles that you might be facing are not for no reason. God is going to do something with you through it. God is going to take some stuff off of your life. God is going to cause you to rise up and say something against it. God is going to cause you to get in the middle of that thing. Can you say amen?
Thanks for listening to the Awakening Podcast. We hope this message has encouraged you. If you want to learn more about our church, visit us online at awakening.global. We'll see you soon.